Thank you for welcoming us in. It really is a blessing. Again, it's hard to believe it's been 5 years ago, but many of you have just been so kind and gracious. Thank you for that. And just serving together has been fun. I'm already looking forward to kitchen work here in just a little bit, getting wet and sweaty again. But thank you for how kind and gracious you all have been. I really, as I come to meetings like this, I just pray that I can be a blessing. That's really it. And I think when you do that, you end up getting a blessing yourself. And I've just been thoroughly encouraged by the preaching. I sure have needed what we've heard. Praise the Lord for that. And you'll have to forgive me. My passion in preaching is to young people. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow and Friday at 4 o'clock. I don't know if they are, but I'm looking forward to that. I just am overwhelmed with a burden for our youth and what these newlyweds that we see walking around, big smiles on their faces. I'm very burdened for what they're going to be raising their kids in. And we got to pray. Pray for our own kids right now that are growing up. And then pray for, if you have grandkids, we just got to hit our knees. And as I said the other day, 0 to 10, I thought was the tough time as a parent. I've been awakened to the need that our 10 to 18 and 23 and 25-year-olds need prayer. And so pray for the Ramos family, if you would. We need it. I need it. I was listening to that message last night and thinking, how many times did I not go all the way and have damaged my family? That was convicting to me. And sometimes I wish I would have done that. I should have. Can't go back. But maybe we can encourage one another. And I don't think it's wrong for us to pull somebody aside, these youngsters, and say, hey, I didn't do this. Let me encourage you to do this. Can I just share something right now? I really believe I parented wrong for most of my parenting time. I'm being honest. I think we're, because it's pretty easy to tell your kids, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And when they're 3 and 4 and 5, I'm the man. They kind of have to, because you're bigger than them. And you can whoop them. Not that I wanted to, but you can. And the more you read the Bible, and you read the Proverbs of Solomon, he often pleads with his children. He says, my son, give me thine heart. And I didn't shoot for that. I shot for a lot of exterior things and not to be embarrassed as a parent. And if I can say you that have younger ones, get you and your wife kind of programmed into getting after their heart. That will never happen until you give them your heart. And so my children oftentimes wanted to do something. It wasn't what I wanted to do, so we didn't do it. And I guess all I'm saying is I'm learning as I go, and I'm just encouraging you, as a husband and wife team, get on the same page and say we're going to go for the heart. And okay, we're about the hair, as Pastor was saying. I always tell my son, like, hey, you need to change your hairstyle. Well, at least you got hair. Enjoy it while you have it. But sometimes we focus on all the exteriors, and I'm not saying it's all wrong, but we got to get the heart. And even more than obedience, we have to teach our children to honor your father and mother. Because when they learn honor, the obedience will follow. Just some things, I guess, to throw out there. That's not the lesson today, but we're going to look at Mark chapter 14. And yesterday I felt like we were a little road weary, so I just prayed that we could stay alert long enough to get something. It's the afternoon. It doesn't feel as hot in here as it was yesterday, so maybe the Lord answered that prayer and calmed some things, but maybe you're sweating. I'm not. I'm doing okay right now. But I want to talk about the subject of prayer in a tough time. Prayer in a tough time. I'm assuming that from this side of the tabernacle all the way across that you kind of know as a Christian you need to pray. I'm not questioning anybody's prayer life. That's not what I'm here for. You say, I don't pray enough. We probably all can improve in our prayer life. I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about prayer in a tough time. September 2020, I was at my home, and it was Gideon's 18th birthday, and we're there. He had some of his friends over to the house, and I get a phone call. I see it was my father-in-law down in Austin, Texas, and I didn't even answer the phone. I just handed it off to Gideon. I said, I think Grandpa's calling to wish you a happy birthday, and he grabbed the phone, and he didn't have it for about 2 seconds, and he handed me the phone back. I thought, that's strange. So I grabbed the phone and said, hey, Dad, what's going on? And he said, are you by yourself? I said, I am. He said, can you just pass along the message that your wife's sister was just killed in a car accident? It's like a gut punch. And I said, she doesn't know. He said, no, we want you to tell her. She was out. We picked up some of the bus kids for school. She was taking them home from school. And I'm sitting there in the room with the door shut, pacing back and forth. Like, how? I've never had to do this before. I didn't get trained in Bible college for this. And so I didn't want to tell the kids, and I kind of just said, kids, just kind of wait around. Some of the guys had filtered off to their homes, and I remember my wife coming home and gathering the family together and say, your Aunt Bonita is in heaven. And I flew her out to Texas the next morning, and I got the kids. I said, we're going to finish school tomorrow. We're going to drive down, and all the way down on that drive to Austin, Texas, I'm praying, and I don't know what to pray. And I'm thinking, I got to talk to my brother-in-law, Gene, and I don't know what to say. And I remember driving, and the kids were sleeping, and there was tears flowing, and we're driving all the way down. I get to the house, and he wasn't there, and I'm just sitting there thinking, what am I going to say? And I'm trying to pray, and I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I was claiming that promise, saying, Lord, I need help. I don't even know what to say. I remember Gene walked in, and we just embraced. And I really didn't have anything to say. For about 3 minutes, we just kind of hugged one another. Those are tough times. I had a phone call last year, I think. A kid that came to our youth conference 2 years before and got to meet him a little bit, talk to him a little bit. He was 15 when he came to youth conference. Before that next youth conference, I found from his pastor he committed suicide. And you sit back and you scratch your head and you say, how do you tell a parent? How do you talk to a parent? It's easy for us to say, I'm praying for you. That's the easy part. And so I kind of want to look at how to pray in a tough time. I was talking to Miss Alice, and I guess she's involved in education for quite some time, and actually she's retired but still involved in education, it sounds like, pretty consistently. And as you teach early childhood education, my understanding is back in the day they used to teach 3 R's. Help me out today. Reading. And when I was young, I remember hearing that. I'm thinking, okay, here's the people that are teaching education. They can't even spell. That's a problem. But we look at those are the basics, if you will, of education, those three things. And I'd like to take the 3 R's, and these start with R, how we can pray in a tough time. We see the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed, did he not? I'm not going to go through all the verses, but he prayed when he fed the 5,000. He prayed when Lazarus was raised from the dead. John 17, almost the entire chapter, we've come to call the high priestly prayer. We have the Lord's Prayer when the disciples come and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer, that model prayer. Luke 22, it says, he prayed specifically for Peter, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. But we come to Mark 14, I think we know the text. This to me would be something I think would safe to say, this is a tough time. This is right before the cross. This is probably the toughest time in history that any man has ever had to face. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to take upon him the sin of all mankind. We deal with the sins and sorrows maybe within our families, but talk about the entire world, I would say this is a tough time. So let's just go right to verse number 33 and he, Jesus, taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed. Look at the next phrase, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Verse 35, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, so this is his prayer, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Here is Jesus' really pretty short prayer in the midst of a tough time. So it's not a rousing hip hip hooray type hip hip hoorah sermon, but I think this is something I think is good for us to learn about. Brother Greg, would you open us up in prayer just in this, with these thoughts in mind?
Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're a God that hears us, and Lord, you want to hear from us, and you want us to cast our cares on you. And I pray that we would just have ears to hear what you have to say to us through your word, Brother Ramos, and we would take these things, ponder them in our hearts, have them ready when we're faced with these circumstances. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. First R, in a tough time, relationships matter. Last year, I sat down with the Ramos family, said, we're going to look at our lives and we're going to consider the different relationships we have. I've come to understand that if you're in a relationship, it takes work. Okay? Just because I got married May 25, 1999, that didn't show that I knew everything about marriage. 24 years later, we're still trying to figure things out. But we entered a relationship. But as soon as I was born, I entered into a relationship. I was a son. I was a brother. I was a cousin. I was a nephew. And immediately as I was born, things started happening. And then as a 12-year-old boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. May I say this? When you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, and He comes into your life, you become, the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So I entered another relationship. As time has progressed, now I am a husband. Now I am a dad. Now I am a brother-in-law. And one day, Lord willing, I'll be maybe a grandpa. Everything hinges on relationships. So last year I sat down, I went through all the different things that I was involved in, and I found out I was in 17 different roles in my life with different people. And so we just kind of took a week from January to May, and I said, we're going to put some effort into our relationship with this person, and the next week with another person, and the next week with another person. I'm a son-in-law, all right? So we kind of had to work with the in-laws. That took a month. No, we're not really that bad. But in a tough time, relationships matter. You know, a lot of people will kind of make that excuse for why their lives are wrecked, and they'll say they're in a broken home. Now, there's some legitimacy to it. I wish I would have had a dad that did family devotions with me. I really do. I wish I would have had a dad that was a pastor. I wish I would have had a dad that was saved. He didn't get saved till I was almost 18 years old. So I grew up in a home with an unsaved father, and I remember Pastor Johnston just kind of wishing and being a little bit jealous, a little covetous, like, why can't I have a dad that's in the ministry? Why can't I have a dad that does this and that? But I tell you what, I was in the home, as we talked about considerations, I was in the home God wanted me to be in. And I stop and think, I had a good dad. My dad was lost and paid for me to go to a Christian school. While his siblings argued and said they need to be involved in sports, they need to be in the public school, and my dad didn't say a whole lot. He says, nope, they're going to Fairhaven Christian Academy. Watch this. I had a dad, and this is awesome to me because I've never struggled with tithe because I had an unsaved dad that taught me how to tithe. Every 2 weeks, I can picture it like it was yesterday. Every 2 weeks, he'd get the check from the steel mill. He'd get two envelopes out. He'd put Mary E. Ramus on the envelopes in big letters, and he would lay it on the middle of the table faithfully, faithfully. And as a little kid, I would peek at those envelopes like, wow, my dad knows how to give, and he wasn't even a Christian. Okay. And here am I complaining that I don't have a good... Now, some of you pastors kind of wish maybe your church members would tithe pretty heavy. Watch this. My dad, not super faithful, but my dad would go to men's work nights at the church. And he wasn't even a Christian. We had a television in our home. I don't now. We had a television in our home. And I'd come home and after school or whatever the case would be, and I'd go plop down by the television where my dad was watching The A-Team and MacGyver and I'm trying to think of the other one, Knight Rider. And I wanted to sit there, but I was like, nope. Go read a book. I mean, what 8-year-old wants to go read a book when you can watch TV? He would send me out of the house and say, go play ball, go read a book. He's like, you don't need to watch that. He would come most, not just Sunday mornings, Sunday nights to church. And I had to be real careful because if I knew if our pastor was out of town, he wouldn't come to church if somebody else was preaching other than our pastor. So I had to be careful. Don't tell Dad, preacher's gone. All I'm saying is we can gripe and complain about our home situation, but God knows exactly what we need. And I grew up in this situation where I understand life is all about relationships. You may have a broken home, but that's not really it. It can't be a cop-out because God already knew the situation you were going to be in. So as life has progressed, I've understand relationships matter. When I first met my wife, she came to college from Monterrey, Mexico. And I met her, I did not have an endearing name for her. I knew her as Rosanna. That's what I called her. First time I met her, I didn't give her an endearing name. She didn't know me, I didn't know her. It was Rosanna Eric. Now, 28 years later, I don't say, Rosanna. No, we have, hey, hon, hey, sugar dumpling, hey, pumpkin pie, you know, whatever, all those names that these young couples can help us out with. But what happened is those progressed. And I've come to understand that relationships have to be built. They have to grow. And as Jesus hit his knees, as those sweat drops were coming down as drops of blood, he simply began his prayer by simply saying this, Abba, Father. You'll see him just a few verses later as he's hanging on the cross. He doesn't say Abba, Father, because now sin has strained the relationship. It has gone from Abba, Father, to my God, quite a different story. But as he's on his knees, he's simply saying, Father, Abba, Father. Now, we don't use that term very often, and I've read some about it. Simply is a simpler version. Some of the younger people, it says in the languages, they had a hard time saying the word P-A-T-R. We get that word paternal father. It's that Greek word or Syriac word, pater, and it was easier for them to say Abba, kind of like daddy. It's a close relationship, and Jesus gives us that picture in a tough time. I have learned that you will find out who cares for you in tough times. I had a brother-in-law, I think it's about 20 years ago, that was thrown into prison for spanking a child. At the sentencing, he received 26 years in prison. His brother received 14 years in prison. And I remember getting that phone call, watching from a distance what the trial was going on, and when I found out he was sentenced, I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. He's a pastor. He's pastoring. He's doing what the Lord wanted. 26 years. And I remember at times going down to visit him down in Huntsville, Texas, and making the effort to go there and spend a couple hours with him. And I would say, Josh, what have you learned? And he said this, two things. One, he says, I've learned to get close to Jesus. Number two, he said, I've learned who my true friends were. I made 5 or 6 visits back and forth, and he said, guys that I thought were my friends have never come to see me. They've never written me. You see, because it's easy when things are, well, hey, brother, hey, sister, it's all well. But as soon as the tough time comes, you're going to find out. You're going to find out that true relationships are going to matter. You're going to find out who your true friends are, the ones that are going to stick with through when your sermons are good and when they're bad. And I've been through it, like I said, 47 years at the same church. You see people come and they're all excited about when things get a little turbulent. They say, hasta mañana for my Spanish friends back there, Brother Miguel. Earlier in our text, look at verses 10 and 11. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Notice the word for this disciple of Jesus, gladly received him. When you have a strained relationship with the Lord, there are going to be people out there that will receive you, as we heard last night. I'm sitting there thinking, I've never looked at it that way, Pastor. When you and say, hey, where'd you, how come you weren't at church? How come you weren't at church? How come you weren't at church? And then when you stop asking it, what did we say last night? They don't care about me. But they do. And it's almost like Judas maybe felt this disconnect with the Lord, and he found somebody that gladly received him. You know what? He found a new relationship. But we all know what happens when times got tough for Judas. He went back to those very same people. I have sinned and then I have betrayed innocent blood. What's that to us? Get out of here. We got what we want. And he threw those and went out and hung himself. I'm just saying, we need to understand our relationship with God must be strong. And it's not just, oh, how I love Jesus in church. It needs to be in the tough times. I think we understand relationships are going to matter. We need to have that Abba, Father relationship. Number two. In a tough time, reassurance matters. Has your faith ever been shaken, Brother Mike? Brother Pascal, has your faith ever been shaken? He's like, oh yeah. Brother Ben in here, I can't see you got, or did he leave me hanging today? He's not in here. Hallelujah, is she in here? I just like saying that. Has your faith ever been shaken? Mrs. Friesen, has there been times through the ministry you're thinking, Did we do the right thing? And so as Jesus is praying in a tough time, what does he say? Abba, Father, here's the phrase I think that's important. All things are possible unto thee. I see confidence of a son in his father. And I tell you what, sometimes you just need to go back and rehash and be reassured of the faith that you had. You got to stop and say, I remember when God did this for me, and I remember when God did this for me, and I remember when God did this for me. And what it does is it kind of rebuilds that faith, if you will. Psalm 118, verse 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. 1 John 2:8, when he shall appear, we may have confidence. 1 John 3:21, if beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. Can I say there have been times in my life when I've had ups and I think, man, it's all about God. He is so good. He's so faithful. And then there's times, Brother Johnson, my faith isn't so strong. And I sit back and I begin to question certain things like, oh, should we have done this? Sometimes I question, I'm going to be honest with you, door knocking. Because Brother Traver, sometimes it just doesn't seem like nobody even listens and nobody cares. Should I even be doing this? And you just have to go back to the book and stop and remember that 50 years ago, it changed the Ramis family. Because somebody just went out and said, we're going to do what the Lord tells us to do. I'm not seeing all these fancy results, but I have to be assured and reassured and reassured that all things are possible through Him. We talked about tithe. To me, that's easy, but for some, I've learned it's just fun. And when it comes to finances, we have tough times. I really don't struggle with that, but when we're dealing with tough things, sometimes we've got to be reassured that all things are possible. And Jesus teaches us in his prayer, that all things are possible. Confidence changes your approach in everything. We have this thing called candy sale at our school. What did we sell this last sale? I'm going to guess around 500,000, 450. 400,000. I'm an evangelist. We just kind of grow our numbers a little bit. We have about 100 kids in our school. It was 11 days, I think, we sold $400,000. Now, we've been doing this since I was just a little guy. But I've watched my kids over the years. We'll send them into this store, and they'll go in there and sell $100 worth, and then 6 months later, we have another sale, and we'll send them into the same store, and you can see their body language when they're going to the same store. It's interesting, we tell them, hey, clean your room. 10 minutes later, they forget. But they've gone candy selling, and they remember 6 months ago what happened in that store. So my wife or myself will say, go in such and such a store. And you can just see the wheels spinning, because they remember this. Last time I went in that store, and I sold $100 worth, and they kind of have the mindset that the same person is going to be sitting there with the same clothes on. They're going to have that same $100 bill or that same credit card, because last time it happened. And as this has progressed, there's some stores that they walk in, the people are still there. They meet them, and they'll write them a $300 check, and they look forward to it. And it all hinges on their confidence. There's other times we'll say, go in that store, and the person at the store will be mean and rude and say, no solicitation, get out of here. And they come out with head hung low, shoulders hunched. The next 6 months later, my wife will say, go in that store. And they'll say, oh no, I remember what happened last time. But my wife, as tough as she is, said, get back in there again. But I watched their body language. Are you with me? Is it not true? They're not quite as brisk. You almost have to get out of the car to make sure they even go into the business, because they might walk in and turn around and come right back out. It all hinges on confidence. And I'll say this, if you're not used to seeing God answer prayers in normal times, you're not going to have anything to go back to when you're praying in a tough time. And Jesus could get down on his knees and say, all things are possible. He was reassured because he had confidence in his Father. Reassurance matters. We remember the days when Daddy was the strongest man in the whole wide world. And my mama's the prettiest woman in the whole world on the playground, the fight's going on. But for some reason, we kind of start to put a confidence in ourselves. And we lose that confidence in our Father. We could take that spiritual approach to that. We won't take time to do that. Can I give you the last one? Probably the toughest one. So we have relationships matter. We have reassurance matters. But number three, I think this is the tough one for all of us. In a tough time, big word. Are you ready for it, Hillary? Yes. All right. I got an amen, finally. I'm with a little Pentecostal power going on here, right? In a tough time, relinquishment matters. This is the difficult part. Here's Jesus praying, and he doesn't get his prayer answered. Let me say that again. Here's Jesus praying, and he does not get his prayer answered. What is his prayer? Take away this cup from me. Did the cup get removed? It couldn't, because it was his Father's plan. I'm thankful that it didn't get removed, because that allows us to get to heaven today, because he took the cup and he drank the cup that his Father would not remove. So here's what he says. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. A pastor prayed this. He said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Have you ever prayed for something and it just doesn't seem like God's answering? It doesn't seem like there's a connection. It doesn't seem like he's with you. And you think, what's going on? Take away this problem from me. Remove this situation. Maybe it's a family situation. Lord, why do I feel like I have to go through this? Maybe it's a church problem. You're like, ah! But we got to come to this word of relinquishment. And the idea of that is, my hands are off. That, my friends, is tough. It is easy to say, trust God, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And Brother Zach, you know, you're 18 and life is good, but there's going to come a day that you're going to go through tough times. I'm not wishing it on you, but you're going to go through it. The newlyweds. Na 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 na. He's like, your day's coming. If it hasn't already. Gideon and I were in Northern California. I was preaching several years ago when he was younger. And I wanted to go to Alcatraz. And so we're in San Francisco area, and I took him and said, you want to go to Alcatraz? And we talked about it a little bit. Yeah, I want to go to Alcatraz. And I remember going out of a hotel, and I was asking somebody, where do you get tickets for Alcatraz? And they kind of almost looked at me funny, like, no, you have to get tickets weeks ahead of time. You're not going to get tickets the day of. And I remember just pulling Gideon aside, why don't we just pray? Let's just pray. So we kind of just, right on the street, we just said, Lord, help us to get tickets to Alcatraz. And I remember specifically saying this, but if not, it's okay. But if not, it's okay. That was our prayer. And I remember taking him down. We went down to the ticket center, and I said, ma'am, do you have two tickets? And she kind of smiled. She's like, you're not going to believe it. We have two tickets left today. And we kind of looked at each other and kind of like did one of these things, like, okay, God's got this. But we had made it real clear, even if there were no tickets, when we said, if not, it's okay. Are you with me? That is relinquishment of the situation. This was no light task. If this is all you get from this lesson/message, get this. I see no problem praying for what our heart's desire is. But may I remind you, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So be careful that you're praying for your heart's desire. Because God may look down and say, that's not really what you want. You think it is, but it's not the real deal. You better trust me. And so what has to happen as we sit back and say, Lord, help me to win the lottery. Hopefully you're not praying that. But if you are, I'm guessing he's probably not going to answer that prayer. Just make sure you have, but if not, it's okay in that prayer. Because I'm going to guess it's going to be not. Someone said this, although God can do anything we ask, He may not choose to do everything we ask. That's a thought. As we go through life, understand we better get direction from Him and not just go our heart's desire and hope He signs His name to it. I've got a 20-year-old boy. I've got a 17-year-old boy. And they think they know everything. And I sit back and say, hold on, hold on. And I'm the old fuddy-duddy 47-year-old. That's the overbearing dad that just thinks they think I'm just trying to make their life miserable. I'm like, no, 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 no. I'm your dad. I'm looking 10 years from now, not right now. And while it's easy on my side to say things, sometimes I have to stop and God's doing the same thing to me. He said, Eric, you think you want that. You think you need that. But I've been around a whole lot longer than you have. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. On our American currency, every piece of currency says, in God we trust. And that's usually the last thing we do when it comes to finances. So we go to credit card. It's not in God we trust. Then we get ourselves in deep trouble. Here's a thought. There was somebody wandering through the streets in England, and they had lost their way, and they were looking around. They found a little young man. He's 12 years old, and they said, could you please tell us the way to get to the train station? The boy said this, well, you turn to the right there by the grocery store, then take the second street to the left. That will bring you to a place where four streets meet. And then, sir, you had better inquire again. That's kind of a good lesson for life. Because sometimes we think we just got it all together and we just go, 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 go. And it's probably a good idea that we say, Lord, I kind of need you today. And the next hour, it's not a bad idea to stop and say, Lord, I need you today. And Lord, I need you now. And I need you for this. Sometimes we go through life and we think we got it all figured out. I guess I'm saying this. You're going to go through a tough time, Ryan. I don't want you to. But you better learn how to pray in a tough time. And the Lord Jesus, I think, says, you know what? You better make sure your relationship's right. You better have that confidence and the reassurance in the Heavenly Father. But you also have the mindset of relinquishment. I have a plan in my mind for my boys, and sometimes when it's not going the way that I plan, I'm like, Brother Greg, that hands-off thing is really tough. My wife is here. It's really tough, is it not? And now we got girls coming up, and at some point we're going to hand them off in about 40 years to some guy. I'll be honest, I worry about that guy and what's on his phone. I do, I'm just being honest. I worry about who we're going to hand off. But yet, at some point, I have to be praying and I have to be doing right and I have to be trusting God in the good times so when the unsettled, uncertain times come, I still have that relationship, Lord. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Daddy, that close relationship. And then it comes down, Lord, you did it for me last time. You did it for me that other time. I'm just going to get that reassurance. I need to build my faith yet again and help me be strong. But then it comes to the point where my hands have to be off and I have to trust in God, in the good times, as well as in the bad times. You may face something very difficult between now and the end of 2023. I pray not. But I think this is a good pattern to follow. To pray like our Lord Jesus did in a tough time. Amen? I hope this helps. Lord, we love you. Thank you for just the attention that's been given. I believe you cooled the weather just a bit to make it a little more comfortable for us. I thank you for that. And God, I've just been blessed to be here with these folks. There's a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. I believe it. And I think you're going to honor that by filling us. Because that's what Jesus says. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they be filled. Can I just ask this? Maybe you're here and you're in the midst of a tough time. And you said, Brother Ramus, I'm low. This is, to me, not really a camp message, but I think it's helpful. You said, Brother Ramus, would you pray for me? I needed that. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you. Several hands. God bless. Thank you for being honest. Just at your seats. I'm not going to have an invitation. I'll let Mrs. Traver just relax a little bit. She's been at back and forth. But maybe just take a minute to just talk to the Lord.